This is Be Better Than Your BS with Risha Grant. And around here, we get rid of the BS. Game-changing women, raw stories, real truth about what it takes to lead, win, and stay sane in the process. If you've ever had to fight for your seat at the table, this space is for you. This is Now Media Television. What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Risha Grant. Today on Be Better Than Your BS, I'm chopping it up with Chef Tamara Patterson, or as Food Network fans know her, Chef Tam. She's battled it out on national TV, walked away a champion, and built her own restaurant, Chef Tam's Underground. Now she's bringing all that passion, hustle, and flavor to the corporate world as the dining services director for the largest senior services company in the country. From the kitchen to the boardroom, Chef Tam knows what it takes to cook up success. Let's jump into the pregame and find out how her journey started. Okay, Tammy, just tell me this. Why cooking?
Well, cooking because that's all I know, right? My grandmother was a professional baker in Tulsa, and then my dad owned a restaurant my entire childhood. So all I know is good food. Now, if you know me, and you do, then you know that I used to do hair. And so I was a hairstylist for many, many years. And then one day I just woke up and started having these dreams, and I would write down what I dreamt, and they were often recipes. And so I was like, okay, I think it lead me to cook. And I started cooking, and it never looked back.
That truly shows how everybody has their own path, because I spent most of my life trying not to cook. So I remember, so you said, if you know me, you know me. I know Tammy, we go way, way back. And I remember this story of when my sister was getting married. And you were helping me get, and it's a small house wedding, right? And you were helping me get everything ready. And you were like, you want me to make the spaghetti? And I'm thinking, no, because I don't really know how Tammy cook. I'm like the spaghetti cook in the family. And here I am talking to a Food Network champion. And I'm like, and at the time, of course, that dream was super far away. And I don't even know if it was on the radar, right? But I think back about that, like, Tammy cooked that spaghetti. So what's the first dish you remember cooking? And what did it teach you about yourself?
So I think the first thing that I ever cooked and cooked really well that I remember was pork chop fingers.
What are pork chop fingers? What is that?
Cut up pork chops.
Okay.
Cut up pork chops. Like I made chicken tenders, but I made them with pork chops. I was in middle school, and some rice-a-roni.
Wow.
Of green beans. That's the first thing I ever cooked. The next thing that I cooked and perfected was sausage and biscuit gravy. And I make sausage and biscuit gravy like I'm an old grandma now.
Oh, wow. And I love your food. I got the chance to come to Chef Tam's Underground, and the food was amazing. It was amazing. Yes. I was doing everything not to just start licking my fingers. But so who influenced your style? Who influenced your style as a chef?
So I think that my heritage influenced my style as a chef. Okay. It's funny because my favorite types of food are like Cajun and Creole foods. And, everybody would say, oh, she's from New Orleans. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm actually born and raised in Texas. Little did I know, when I started to do my ancestry background, all of my family is actually from Louisiana.
Wow.
Louisiana and Mississippi in the Delta. And so that food just kind of careened through my veins. And it's what I really, really appreciate and really like.
Awesome. So before the Food Network and the business world and all of that stuff, and this is an important question, is what does success actually look like to you? Because I think we all have these different definitions, and a lot of us follow what the world says is success until you actually get there and you're like, okay, wait a minute, this looks a little bit different to me.
Well, I think for me, success, honestly, was not being broke or not being poor. When you come from families that aren't steeped in generational wealth, it's just let me be able to pay my bills,
right?
Let me not fail at life. And then as I've gotten older and my son has grown and different things, now success looks like peace to me. So I think that as you grow, success has a different metric system, right?
Yes.
Or it means different things. So when my son was younger, it was let me not let him be hungry. Let him, yes. let me have great experience for experiences for him. Now that he's graduated college, now it's like, let me go to sleep early.
Yes.
That's success. That's success.
Who do you think shaped your thoughts around it? Because that's the other thing. Our background plays a big part in how we show up in the world and how we think we should show up in the world.
So I would have to say it would be Miles Monroe.
Really?
Miles Monroe really impacted my life when I was a young lady, 18, 19 years old. And it was just all about making sure you die empty, right? And so whatever I do in this world and in this lifetime, I want to do it so that I live my life poured out. Yeah. And so that when I go before God and give an account for the things that I've done, I hear well done because I've actually used everything he gave me. And so that's how I shape my thought process and even how I gauge what I do next.
Okay. I love that. I love that. And I remember way back we were reading books on Miles Monroe and we were all doing that. So I remember
yes,
that.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit more about success, right? You Food Network champion, you started making the money, you started doing the thing. What was that actually like in real time?
So check this. I am a believer, mm-hmm. and I was really seeking God, like, what am I supposed to do next? You know, I feel like I'm supposed to leave hair, but I don't understand why you would make me leave, because hair was at the time really good for me.
Yeah.
Like,
you were killing
thriving.
It. You were killing
yeah.
it. I remember.
And I was like, why would you keep giving me these dreams about food? And I don't understand what you want me to do. And so for about the last 2 years that I did hair, I did it on a corporate scale, meaning I would fly all around the world to hair shows, teaching people internationally. And I don't mean just like, oh, you went to New York. No, I was going to Germany, London, Mexico, Puerto Rico, oh, like wow. all the places, teaching people how to do hair extensions. And for the last 2 years of my career in hair, every day I had a headache. Literally every day I had a headache, and I'm like, okay, God, if you really are telling me to leave, you got to make sure that I'm gonna be able to take care of my son, that I'm gonna have what I need. And when I said that to him and walked away from hair, the first day I walked away, I didn't have a headache.
Wow. So you listen to your body.
Yeah, listen to my body. And then when I started cooking, it was almost as if you know how the Bible says all of creation is waiting for the sons of man to know who they are, mm-hmm. or, you know, something similar to that. Well, literally within 2 months, I was cooking for celebrities.
I remember
they didn't know who I was. They didn't even know my name. They would say the fried chicken lady, the Lele fried chicken real good. Yes. And I mean, like mega celebrities just out of my living room, out of my house.
Yeah.
And then, the same voice that told me to walk away from hair told me to move to Memphis. And so I moved to Memphis, got a job because I got a kid to take care of.
Right.
And then the job ended up phasing out in a year. And I'm like, God, what am I supposed to do? And I called a friend and I said to her, I need to borrow. This was October of 2016, called her, I need to borrow rent money. I'll pay it back, I promise. At the time, I'm now selling plates out of the house because I got to keep going. And this is a friend I know had it. Like, mm-hmm. you got it.
Yes.
Me borrowing $1,000 ain't going to bother you. And she called me back the next day and said, I can't give you $1,000 for rent. And I was like,
wow.
And she said, I can't give you $1,000 for rent because God told me to give you $5,000 for a restaurant.
Oh, wow.
And I was, what? I went the next day and paid the deposit on a building I'd been looking at. Just
I love that.
Went and paid it. And the exact amount of money I needed was that money that she had given me. Opened the first restaurant, and the amount of success that followed was scary. It was almost like a cult following. Food Network ended up calling me.
So you didn't seek them out. They came to you. Okay.
And let me tell you why I sincerely believe that what we say is the world. We create worlds with our words. Because before I ever moved to Memphis, I'd made a post on Twitter when it was still Twitter. And it was still Twitter.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that. Go ahead.
And I made a post, and the post said, Food Network is coming for me, and I'll be dubbed Betty Crocker Jr. Said
wow.
it and think about it. And while I might have been in my restaurant 3 months, and they called the restaurant phone, and one of my employees said, hey, there's a producer on the phone from Food Network, and I wouldn't get on the phone. Because I thought they were pranking me. She was lying.
Yeah.
And when I finally got on the phone, the lady said, no, this is really Food Network, and we want to know if you would come and be on Guy's Grocery Games. Risha, let me tell you, I went out to that show, no formal training as a chef. All I know is what tastes good. I've been practicing being a thick girl my whole life, so I know what food is supposed to taste like. And I ended up going out there against people that were Michelin star winners, James Beard winners. I'm actually asking, hey, Siri, who is James Beard?
Right.
Like, I had no clue. And I beat them and won.
Yes.
My first ever on Food Network. And I remember very distinctly, I try to always tell this story. They were saying, oh, we went and had foie gras last night. And I literally had to pick my phone up and ask Siri what foie gras was. Yes. And these were the people that have all the book knowledge and all the technical knowledge. And I went in there and beat the brakes off of them.
And listen, I was in my bedroom jumping up and down, taking pictures, like, come on, Tammy. And I'm looking at this. You run around this grocery store and I'm like, I wouldn't have the slightest idea how to put together what they were asking for. So we are about to go to our next segment and we will be right back.
Hold up, we're just getting started. More truth, more strategy, and less BS. Coming up next on Be Better Than Your BS, right here on Now Media Television. This is Be Better Than Your BS with Risha Grant, and around here, we get rid of the BS.
Y'all, Chef Tam set the table. You saw what her mindset had to be. She believed in herself. More importantly, she believed in faith. Now we are going to get to the main course, the big plays that changed everything for Chef Tam. So, Tammy, we know that when it comes to business, there's no recipe. There is absolutely no recipe. I look at my own trajectory. I'm in a season of so much transition and so much change myself because I've worked in DEI. DEI, it exists, but it doesn't exist, right? So I literally this year watched a multiple seven-figure business go to nothing. And I mean absolutely nothing, right? So that's what I want to talk about is, what made you make that leap? Because the leap is, I mean, to go from your own restaurant to Food Network, like that's a huge, huge leap, a lot of risk. Can you talk about it a little bit?
Well, I'll say this. I think that it was more risk leaving the beauty industry. It's what I went to school for.
Okay.
It is, I was comfortable there. It was what I knew, like the back of my hand. I knew if I go in and do this many heads, I'm going to make this much money and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But leaving the hair industry to step in food was more of a risk for me because there was uncertainty. And what ended up happening was that's when I really had to lean on faith. Like, okay, God, you led me out here. You told me to leap. So I can't drown.
Right.
Because then that's going to make you look bad, sir, because I'm telling people you told me.
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of careened through. And really what I realized was you know, God never wastes anything, right?
Yeah.
And so whatever I learned in the hair industry about tenacity and learning my craft, I took into food. And so one of the competitors that I went against on Food Network, his name is Tobias Dorzin.
Mm-hmm.
Tobias used to play football, and he's been on Food Network so much that he is like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And so me and Tobias were sitting down talking. We were competing against this lady, and I looked at him and said, look, one of us got to win.
Yeah,
I don't care which one of us, but one of us got to win, because this is like a soul food episode. We can't let nobody else win.
Yeah, y'all had to represent.
Yeah. And so, and Tobias, I think his family is from Liberia or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tobias and I ended up the first round cooking almost the exact same food. No conversation with each other. Almost cooked the same food. Second round, same thing. And I ended up going home in the second round. He went on to the third round. But that day, I had a conversation with him, and I said, you know, maybe I should go to culinary school, because then I could really hone in on my craft. And he looked at me and said, I've already looked you up. You already got a restaurant. You're on Food Network. You're winning on Food Network. Why would you go do that?
So, you know what? And talk a little bit about that. That's really important, because we get started and we're doing our thing, and then for some reason we think we need to go to culinary school, go back, get the MBA. And I know it's in some areas it makes sense to do that. But do you think it kind of wastes time to some degree?
Well, I think it's about what you believe as far as yourself is concerned. And so for me, I kept finding myself in these rooms with people that had all these degrees and I had none. Like I went to school for business. I went to school for hair.
Mm-hmm.
But all these other people have all these different culinary degrees. They know all these knife techniques. And I'm just like, child, let me show you how to season this food and cook it. Come on.
And, no ancestors so was whispering to you. Is that was that it?
Every time. Literally every time they say, well, when I competed against Iron Chef Alex Garnaschelli, the judges, it was like a Southern thing again, and she's of course Italian, and I got one of the things we had to make was cornbread, and I got ready to make hoe cakes.
Uh-huh.
And she chimed in from the side of the studio and said, that's a pancake, that's not cornbread. And I looked at her and said, hey, just because you ain't never had it don't mean it ain't cornbread. And when I finished, they were like, well, how did you make this? And how did you do that? And they said to me, you know, this chicken is textbook. This is the best fried chicken I've ever eaten. Well, that is the thing. I literally am listening in my heart.
Uh-huh.
What should I add to it? What would make it stand out? What? And so the next step for most, you know, after a bachelor's degree might be a master's. Somebody in the culinary field used to be a dishwasher, and then they end up going to culinary school. For me, it was just a matter of feeling like I didn't belong,
right?
Because I was around all these people with all these degrees. And then when I start beating them and they kept calling me back, well, maybe it ain't me that don't belong.
And I love that you brought up belonging, because it's such a big thing. And so you start winning big. Look at my own business. You start winning big. Did it change how people saw you and how you saw yourself? Because that's something that, honestly, I struggle with. I've always struggled. The childhood traumas of, I want to be the best at first basketball, now business. I want to grow this in a way that I never imagined. People begin to see you differently. What? How do you respond to that? Or is that even your experience?
Well, I think that people see you differently based on their lens, right?
Yes.
And so if they've never had, excuse me, if they've never had anybody to win big in their lives, then they'll look at you and judge you as being such much, when really you're just walking out what God created you to do. Yes. And so I think that we all look at others' situations and others' lives based on our own lens. And what I've had to learn to do is stay out of the comments. Don't read it. But at the same time, I've also learned not to believe my own hype. I could always get better, or somebody else is always better or could be better than me.
Right.
And so those are things that I've had to teach myself, as far as perception and people's perception of me. Here's another thing that I think is one of the greatest analogies that I've ever learned. Mm-hmm. Turtles and giraffes don't eat in the same place.
Mm. I hear you.
Are you the turtle or are you the giraffe?
I hear you. So tell me what the vision was for your restaurant. Just kind of going back a little bit. What was the vision when you first stepped out with Chef Tam? Chef Tam's Underground.
The first Chef Tam's was about 1,500 square feet. Mm-hmm. That included the kitchen. That included dining room. That included the restaurant. It was an old house in an area in Memphis called Cooper Young, and it was very tiny. Like, when I say very little, it was very little. And I figured this is an opportunity for me to pay homage to my grandmother, mm-hmm, and my ancestry. And so I hung up pictures of my family. I hung up my grandfather's draft card, my great-grandfather's draft card. I hung up my grandparents' marriage license. I hung up my baby pictures. Mm-hmm. It just looked like you were stepping into your grandmother's house, because it was a little literal house. And like, when you first walked in, there was this table, a custom table I got made, called a community table. And even if you didn't know the people, you would sit down with them at one table. And then each of the rooms had smaller tables. That was the first concept. We were there for 3 years, which was the length of that lease. And then we went to what ended up being the largest restaurant in Memphis. We went from 1,500 square feet to 7,800 square feet.
That's the restaurant I came to. Okay, I remember.
Yeah. 3 floors. We had a Cracker Barrel type store in the front of the restaurant with all of our branded stuff, our cookware, our seasonings, old timey candy. And it was still the idea of, I've got to pay honor to where I came from. So I had this massive family tree put up on the wall.
Well,
yeah, so.
So let me ask you this. What was the jump from Food Network, restaurant, to now going back to the corporate world? I mean, because it's a huge jump, and most people would see it as a backwards jump, right? Because they're trying to get to that space. So what was the thought process behind that?
I'll say this. One of my very good friends is Tim Ross. And Tim Ross used to be the young adult pastor at the Potter's House of Dallas with Bishop Jakes. And Tim left the Potter's House, and people told Tim that he was crazy for leaving the Potter's House. Mm-hmm. Tim's response was this: if the goal was following Bishop Jakes, I could understand what you were saying and call it truth. But the goal has always been to follow God. And so for me, in my journey, the goal is to follow God and follow peace. And owning a restaurant and staying open, we opened the restaurant January, the second location in Memphis, January 18th of 2020. By March 16th, COVID hit. Yeah. So we weren't even open a good 3 months before COVID hit. And I made the gross mistake of funding everything myself instead of getting loans or grants or things like that. And so I had spent all this money to convert this building that was built in 1900 to this fabulous restaurant. And then COVID hit, and we had to go to go only. Then the health department said you could open, but you got to do social distancing. And people were still afraid. And so because people were still afraid, I made the call that we're not going to open at all. We're just going to be to go only. And so we did that for about a year. Mm-hmm. People's, all of my employees' children came to work with him every day. My son graduated high school from my restaurant.
Wow.
Literally, I had people in there that had children in playpens and children on laptops. And so for me, it's about just following that peace, following what I know to be the voice of God, no matter what it looks like. People may look at it and say, you know, it's a leap backwards or a step backwards. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is every one of my steps are ordered. Having come and worked in this company, I've learned things about dementia and Alzheimer's that I didn't know, or medical issues that I didn't know. Well, guess what? God knew that June 10th, my husband would have two strokes. I had no clue. But God, and because of that, the things that I've learned here have been able to help me there. And so that's one of the things, like if I could leave you with something, God wastes nothing and every step is ordered.
I love that. It is all about peace. We will be right back.
Hold up. We're just getting started. More truth, more strategy, and less BS. Coming up next on Be Better Than Your BS, right here on Now Media Television. This is Be Better Than Your BS with Risha Grant. And around here, we get rid of the BS.
Y'all, every dish has its secret ingredient and every journey has its lesson. So we are going to break down what Chef Tam's learned along the way. But Tammy, before we really jump into this, you said something that almost broke me in that last segment. You said, no matter what it looks like, keep going. You remember my Aunt Nay, that, you know, you met her way back in the day. She passed away, but at a really particular time in business where I was like, I'm done. I can't do this no more. I don't care what the vision is. I'm going to get a job. I'm tired of being broke. She said to me, no matter what it looks like, you have to keep going. So when you said that it brought back this flood, I mean, I have it tatted on my arm because that I have to hold that. When you're in, I want to say in entrepreneurship, but honestly, when you're in life, just life, mm-hmm. no matter what it looks like, we have to keep going. We have to keep going. So you kind of got into why you made the transition from doing your own thing to going into corporate services, and I absolutely love the piece because I honestly feel like there is a there's a culture around, and me and my partner were just talking about this, there is a culture around in business, if you decide to leave business, that you have failed. But what you're saying is, listen, I failed forward, if that's how you want to see it, but it's not a failure. It is peace, and that is one of the most important things we can aspire to in life.
Well, so look at it like this. I think that we just have to change our lens, right?
Yeah.
If we go into business with the mindset of I'm only doing this for a few years, or I'm going to sell this, or I'm going on to the next thing, then we are looking at it appropriately. We call it failure when we think we're going to die doing it.
Yeah.
But then what if that's not all that God has created you to do?
Right.
I'm right. Still cooking. I just ain't got to pay the rent no more. I don't have to worry about this $42,000 payroll anymore.
Yes.
But I'm still cooking. And so I'm still doing what I was created to do. It just looks a little different.
What would you say then to the entrepreneurs out there who decide, listen, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. What would you say to them in light of the culture around not continuing with your business?
Go with peace, period. Because let me tell you, people are checking out of here because of mental health issues.
And stress.
Or stress or regular health issues. And it's because you're trying to keep up an image that you don't even like. Yeah. Like if you tell the truth, you don't even like it no more.
Yes.
Like when I closed Chef Tam's, people were like, it was all the uproar.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends who owns a restaurant subsequently texted me and said, I called my mama and said, Tam just woke up and said, forget this. I could tell. And I said, how did you know? And she was like, I knew it. And I said, I did. When you have to manage people that may not have the mindset or the heart of you, it becomes more tedious than it is.
Speak on it. Yes.
If it is more pain than it is pleasure, and I'm not this thrill seeker and everything has to be ice cream. I'm not that. You can't be that and be a black woman.
Yeah.
Not in America. You can't be a woman in America and be this thrill seeker where you want everything to be beautiful. But it wasn't for me no more. In that season. Mm. Now, here's the thing. God is shifting me, and I stayed up all night writing a business plan for a whole nother restaurant concept.
There it is.
Who's to
say? I think sometimes, though, you know, entrepreneurship is in you. Like, I truly feel like it's in me. I don't think I'm a great employee. I've tried it. I've tried it. And when I think about that and I think about employees I've had, I'm like, man, I need to call those people and apologize. Right. So I think sometimes it is just in you. But I love that you're speaking to that, because it is something that I think really, really is a concern for entrepreneurs, because it looks like failure when the only thing failing is yourself by not following your heart.
So, yeah, you're failing yourself when you stay in something that you know you need to let go of.
Right. Right. So what do you like about the corporate world that you couldn't find in entrepreneurship? And you may have talked a little bit about this already, but.
You know what's interesting? I think that God teaches us in each place. Uh-huh. And so even the weight of we've got to make sure we're making a quota is the same weight I had there. So it's really the same thing. I just ain't got to sign the check.
Yeah.
Okay. Or
well, surely, is it the same amount of stress? Because I mean, when I think about a restaurant, there's so many things.
Well, here's the thing. So I am the dining services director for the largest senior facilities in America. Mm-hmm. We have 658 locations.
Oh, wow. Okay.
At my particular building, there are 150 residents. Everything from independent people to memory care. Okay. I'm feeding 150 people three times a day.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's actually more stress.
That's a lot. And they both have their stressors for sure.
Yeah. And because now I've got to make you happy every day.
Yeah. So tell me this. What BS are you still working through? What's the thing that you are still like, I get this BS off me? Or get through it, or whatever.
Excellent question. I think that we'll be working through BS forever.
Yeah, right.
My goodness. I would say it's probably, am I good enough? Can I do this? Even when I was writing out the plan last night for the new concept, I said to God, now I already closed. See, I didn't just have Chef Tams in Memphis. I also opened a location in Texas. So I was running two locations in two different states. And so I was like, God, now you let me open these. And now you're giving me this idea, because I don't believe I come up with ideas on my own. Mm-hmm. I believe that my creativity comes from God.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, God, you let me do this, and you're giving me this next idea. Can I do it? Because I walked away from that one. So if I'm going to walk away from this, ain't no need me doing it.
So tell me,
and so that's the BS.
How do you, because you say, can I do this? I mean, you've done it already. So what is that thing?
Yeah.
What's that thing that's still just jabbing at you like, I don't know if I can do it?
Well, because this concept is something totally different. Soul food is something that's steeped in my hereditary genes.
Okay.
You know, my grandmother go in the kitchen and make do. This is an entirely different concept.
Okay.
That forces me to change first. But it's something that I've got to do. And I know I've got to do it. And so it is the BS of believing in me. No matter what season or station I'm in.
I absolutely love that. So in your current position, how do you really keep it personal and soulful the way you did in the restaurant? Or can you even do that? I mean, with so many different diets and needs and all those things.
So I do it maybe once a month. Okay. I just got back from Nigeria where I went and hosted a masterclass or cooked at a masterclass for GT Co. In Lagos. And when I got back, I told them, okay, we're going. I'm going to cook some of the food that I ate over there. And I'm going to let y'all taste it. And these are majority Caucasians. And they were kind of nervous. I was like, I'm going to make it not spicy, but I want y'all to taste this with me and go on these journeys. And so I still bring who I am, my personality, my love, and my love of food. I bring that into no matter the environment. So.
Got it. Now, do you get to interact with the seniors much?
All day long.
Okay, I want to know what are they teaching you about life and leadership? Because I love older people. They, no holds barred, they tell you whether you want to know or not. So what are you learning from them?
So I would say because they are so no holds barred, they have taught me not to wear it on my sleeve.
Okay.
I have this concept in my mind now. Some days you're going to be a cafeteria worker, and some days you're going to be a chef.
Okay.
You're a cafeteria worker on the days that they don't like what you cook.
Right.
You're a chef on the days that you have made them just chef's kiss.
Do they come and tell you, like, I don't know what you did to that. I didn't like that today. It needed some salt.
I sit down with them every week. And we have something called menu chat, and they'll say, I don't like that, don't do that anymore. Now, what I have done is I brought culture to them in that, like, hey, we're going to go out to the orchard, and we're going to pick some peaches, and we're going to can some peach preserves. And you to have these women, 89, 90 years old, weeping, saying, I remember doing this with my grandma.
Thank you. I love it.
That, to me, is like... amazing.
I love it. So we are at the end of this segment. We'll be back in a minute.
Hold up. We're just getting started. More truth, more strategy, and less BS. Coming up next on Be Better Than Your BS, right here on Now Media Television. This is Be Better Than Your BS with Risha Grant. And around here, we get rid of the BS.
All right, y'all, we are not done yet. Dessert's still on the way. It's time for overtime. This is fast, fun, and straight from the heart. So, sweet or savory?
Savory.
Why?
All the flavors. Come on now.
If you could only cook with three ingredients for the rest of your life, what would they be?
Would they be added to something, or would I?
You get three. You get three. I'm taking Lowry's seasoning salt everywhere I go, so I.
No, horrible. No, horrible. Chicken, onion, and garlic.
Ah, I love it. Okay. Okay. What's one wild behind the scenes story from Food Network that people don't know?
On one of the shows, we were doing a burger battle, and we had to make a dessert burger. And I went to grab fruit, and they were like, well, you're making a burger, you got to get meat. And they cut filming to make me go get meat. And I ended up being eliminated that round, and I kind of pulled a Denzel. When I got ready to walk off set, I was like, I'm taking something home with me. So we're in this grocery store, and I'm like, I'm going to take this. I'm going to take this. And they knew that I was so pissed, they let me take it.
So you just back there showing out.
Yeah, all the
basically.
Way.
Go-to comfort food when you're stressed.
Grits. No, grits. Fried chicken.
Fried chicken, okay. Dream celebrity you love to cook for?
Barack and Michelle.
Ah. First word that comes to mind when I say Food Network.
Guy Fieri.
Craziest kitchen fail you can admit on camera.
When I won on Chopped, I made a fried macaroni and cheese ball, and it was this big. And it was because I was nervous. I did, but I still won the show.
Yes,
but
you did.
It was because I was nervous. That was a horrible fail, though. Like, everybody was talking about that when that show aired.
Well, did
like,
it at least taste good?
Whole baseball. It tasted amazing. But it was this big.
I remember. But see, I thought it was on purpose.
I played it off.
See, it's because I'm from Texas, thought it was on
and
purpose.
Everything is bigger. It should have been this big.
Okay, another moment in the kitchen where you thought, I cannot believe this is my life.
When I competed against Alex Garner. No, I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
After I competed against Alex Garner Shelley, I did this to her. And Food Network made that their run for the whole season for that show.
Yeah, and I saw that. I saw that on your stuff, like on your social media. So you called her out.
Yeah, I was like, girl, because she kept saying that's not cornbread, and I'm like, and you're Italian, so you don't know what cornbread is, no way. Yeah.
Favorite city to eat in outside of Memphis?
New Orleans.
New Orleans, okay. If someone only has 10 minutes, what is the go-to meal that they cannot mess up?
Shrimp and grits.
Say that again?
Shrimp and grits.
Shrimp and grits?
Shrimp and grits.
Okay. You are saying that so country.
Shrimp and grits.
See, that does not sound like a 10-minute meal to me. That sounds like an all-day meal to me.
No, you can whip up shrimp and grits in 10 minutes, honestly.
One thing people always get wrong about you.
That I'm an extrovert. I'm a severe introvert.
See, I used to think you were mean, Tammy, when we first met.
Everybody does.
you didn't have a lot of words to say, and I'm like, dang, she's kind of mean. But as I got to know you, I'm like, oh, that's just Tammy. And plus, you got to know my mom so much better than me at the beginning, and Mama kept saying, oh, Tammy is all right. Tammy is good people. So I was,
They think that because I'm so silent, I am mean. But really, it is social awkwardness, and people cannot believe it that I can get on camera and turn it on.
Yeah.
And then when I get off camera, I have to sleep like 2 days afterwards to recharge.
Oh, wow. And you know what's funny? When you were getting the cooking stuff off the ground, you called my office for me to do some work with you. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you were so professional. You didn't just say, hey, Risha, girl, this is Tammy. You're like, this is Tamara and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting here. And then finally you were like, Risha, girl, this is Tammy. So I was just like, I'm like, why didn't you just say that to begin with? Because it took me so long. And it was the introverted side of you, not the side that's just like, tell me who you are. So tell
you
me.
You know, people say that all the time. Like, even when it comes to like the celebrities I've cooked for. I tell people, if you want to know, you have to ask my son, because he hung it for his whole high school career. It was my mama's famous, and that's how he got all the girls. And for me, I'd be like, oh, I did cook for them.
Hey, you got to use what your mama gives you.
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm just like, oh, okay, great.
Those girls, probably all of the girls he brought, probably thought you did not like them or couldn't stand them.
Every one of them. And I'm okay with that.
The food.
But you know, a couple of them I'm still cool with right now.
Well, yeah. Regardless of how you treat me, as good as you cook, I would deal with it. So I'm kind of what you would call a food whore. If you cook and I'm coming over there. So I'll deal with your attitude or whatever else.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. I'll pick a random Tuesday to get in the kitchen. Like this day before yesterday, I made a whole seafood boil at 8 at night.
Wow.
Or, you know, I'll make some sweet potato gnocchi and make a chicken and dumpling with the sweet potato gnocchi and put collard greens in it and just mess your mind up.
Okay, the food that best describes your personality.
Food that makes you feel like you're getting a big love hug. something savory and heavy. A pot of chicken and dumplings, chicken and dressing, shrimp and grits, mac and cheese. My mac and cheese will make you slap your body. Yeah.
I got to get back to Memphis. If your life was a dish, what would it be called?
Kiss my grits.
I love that. Now I got to ask something for the vegetarians in the world, because my partner's a vegetarian. It is really, really difficult to find vegetarian food. What's your thought process on vegetarian food and soul food and just
actually, it's not growth? It's not hard. So vegetarians are extremely lenient as opposed to vegans.
Yeah.
So difference. You know, the ability to cook for a vegetarian is simple. Like when I make collard greens, I don't put meat in them anyway. So you can sit yourself down and eat my collard greens. Until about 2020, mushrooms was one of my favorite things. But I can make some mushrooms taste like fried chicken.
Wow. Yeah, it's hard traveling and it's just really hard to find, you know, vegetarian food. It's more and more bigger cities, you have more options. But I'm very proud. I sat down and made a vegetarian meatloaf. And I was so proud of myself. Because I think meatloaf is the best dish that I make. And so I made myself meatloaf and I made her vegetarian meatloaf and she said I killed it. But I'm like, I don't understand
why you just didn't eat her vegetarian meatloaf?
I like meat. I wanted some real beef. I need some real beef in my life. And there's been a couple places that we've been that I'm like, okay, this is really good. I'll try stuff that she has, but I don't know, Tammy, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. We're going to come to Memphis and see what you put together, and then I'm going to see if I can make the transition.
I did some real dope vegetarian stuff. Real dope.
Okay. If someone is watching this, they're thinking about starting over like you did, what is the one thing that you're going to tell them?
Just jump.
It's not that easy.
Yes, it is. You're either going to learn how to fly, or when you hit the ground, you're going to learn how to crawl. Either way, keep moving.
How would you describe your personal culture? That's the vibe that you have when you walk in and the impact that you leave when you walk out.
Be a teacher to all and a student for some.
A teacher for all and a student for some. Why just some?
Because you can't learn from everybody.
I knew you were going to say that. I think that we have to open ourselves up. I think everybody can teach you something.
Yeah, no. No. Unless it is you're teaching me in reverse and you're teaching me what not to do. Then I could take that. Yeah. If you're teaching me what not to do, I could see that. But no, I don't need to. That's kind of like saying you eat from everybody and you know you won't.
Nah. If I go to your house and stuff don't look right, I can't eat.
Same thing.
I can't eat.
Your mind is more important than your stomach. Whatever goes in your stomach gonna come out. Whatever
Some
goes
days.
In your mind trains how you are. Yeah. So for me, it is be able to teach everybody and be willing to learn from some.
What do you think is the most important thing that we can learn from food and from sharing a meal with somebody?
Culture and tolerance.
I love that. I think sharing meals with people, especially people from different cultures, it teaches you so much, not just about yourself, but about them. And I personally think Americans are very, we think everything
entitled.
That we, yes, that's the, thank you. That's the word. That is the word. And there is nothing like going to another country where you don't know the language and you don't know how to get around. Like I just spent a couple of weeks in Mexico and getting the food together and trying to shop and do all the things is very, very humbling. Chef Tam, I want to thank you so much for just spending this time with me. It's so great to catch up with you. And I am I'm looking forward to having more conversations with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Chef Tam showed us what it looks like to bet on yourself. Pivot when the game changes and stay true to your flavor no matter where life takes you. From running her own spot to running dining services for thousands, she reminded us that personal culture is like a recipe. It's what you bring to the table and how people experience you when they sit down with you. And no matter what, she's proof that you can be better than your BS and keep serving up greatness. Until next time, I want y'all to keep it real, keep it flavorful, and keep being better than your BS.